You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, and I'm here with author, speaker, president of Send Network, and recently the new teaching pastor in residence at First Baptist Church of Woodstock, Georgia, Vance Pittman. Vance, good to be with you in the studio today.
Yeah, we are actually in studio today, which is new. Those of you that may not be aware yet, I have, over the last couple of months, relocated back to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Long story, but the short version is I was sent out from First Baptist Woodstock 23 years ago to go plant a church, believing churches plant churches. And in God's grace and sovereignty, He has brought me back to my Antioch, the church that sent me out. Still leading Send Network as I have full time. This is my full time role. But I believe that all of us that are engaged in the arena of planting churches should be rooted and grounded in a local church. And I needed a local church that I could be sent out of and one that I could use my gifts in where my family could connect. And so we've landed back there at Woodstock, and I'll be teaching a few times a year for Pastor Jeremy, and have told them I just want to be a tool on their belt. To be used in however we can in the fellowship there to join in God's activity, seeing the church multiplied and nations reached. But yeah, it's great to be in the studio. Great to be back in the ATL.
Yeah, that's right, man. Well, Vance, I have heard you say that it is your mission to inspire people to join in God's eternal redemptive mission of making disciples and multiplying the church among every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You want to see all the people of God join God in reaching all people with the gospel. Well, we've got an important, very practical, and very helpful discussion today toward that end. Today, we're talking about encouraging women in evangelism, mobilizing the women of God to join in the activity of God of sharing the good news of God.
Absolutely, Noah. It is imperative, and I'm so thankful for our guest you're about to introduce in just a minute, because she's going to bring so much more content to this than you and I can even offer. But in light of the mission of God to reach all peoples among all nations, we have to mobilize the whole church to leverage their life for the sake of the mission. And that means both men and women. Mm-hmm. It means that we need to mobilize the entirety of the body of Christ. And unfortunately, that language is getting lost in some of the contemporary conversation that we're having around this issue about what somebody can't do or somebody can do. We need to get back to the biblical narrative where Jesus called men and women to join in His mission, to use their job, skill, and passion where they live, work, and play, and leverage that for the glory of God. And you see it in the New Testament. You see it in Jesus's ministry team. There were key women that were a part of His evangelistic missionary team. Paul's missionary team had key women that were a part of His evangelistic missionary efforts. If we're talking about evangelism, you can't talk about evangelism without talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians, Paul said, without the resurrection, the rest of the story doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Like, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, nothing else matters. And yet the message of the resurrection was first entrusted in the New Testament to women to take that message and share it with the disciples and the rest of the followers of Christ, which is a significant part of the biblical narrative, because in the time of Jesus, women were not even allowed to give testimony in court. Mm. Their testimony meant nothing in the court of law. So for Jesus to elevate the voice of women in carrying the most significant theological event that had to do with evangelism should speak to us in the church today about the role of women. So I'm super excited about this conversation today.
Yeah, and joining us today for this conversation is Catherine Renfro. Catherine is a pastor's wife, a mom, and serves as the National Director of Women's Evangelism at the North American Mission Board. She and her husband, Chris Renfro, began the journey of church planting in August of 2021, and they launched Hope Church in Alpharetta, Georgia, where Chris is the lead pastor. Catherine graduated from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in 2010 with a master's degree in Christian education and biblical counseling. After being called to ministry at the age of 22, she has been serving in full-time ministry ever since. She has a passion for seeing lost people come to know Jesus and for saved people to live out their purpose of making Jesus known. And let me just say, too, she's got a killer shoe game.
Catherine,
welcome to the podcast.
Man, thank you guys so much, Vance, Noah, both of you, for having me on. This is the privilege of a lifetime. Very grateful.
It's an incredible honor, Catherine, to get to have you on the podcast today for many reasons. But one, just as a dad, I got two daughters who are both living their lives in ministry. My one daughter is married to a young man. They're planting a church in Las Vegas. She's been involved in ministry and worship leading. I got another young daughter who's about to get married, and she's involved in ministry. And you are such an example for young women to look to. If they're looking for somebody who is living their life on mission to the fullest and just an example of what it ought to look like, you're just such an example. So I'm excited about this just for people to hear your story and to hear how God's using you.
Yeah, well, thank you both, guys. It's something I'm super passionate about. Yeah. And just think about the possibilities if we were to equip every follower of Jesus, ladies specifically, to live life on mission and to see not only that God can use them, but He will use them.
Yes.
If they're just simply willing and available, that's what we want to be a part of.
Yes.
That's so great.
And hey, He's not making it up. The shoe game is strong. So what you got on today? They can't see, so tell them what you got on today.
They are coral and green jays.
Let's go.
Have to thank my husband Chris, though, for that.
Yeah, and they match the top, too. I mean, you've got, oh, man.
Come on.
All right. Well, Catherine, there's so much we want to pull out of you. You are a brain trust in this subject and so many subjects, but just out of the gate, why is it important to specifically address and encourage women in the context of evangelism?
Yeah, I can't help but to go back to why we exist in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, God created us to know Him. He wants a relationship with us. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says we are reconciled to God, but it doesn't end there, because once we know Jesus, there's still more to that purpose, is to make Jesus known. Mm-hmm. And so He reconciles us to Himself, but then He gives us the ministry of reconciliation. And so if we can help women see, whether you're leading a ministry in the local church context or not, you're still given a mission and a ministry to be a part of. And so if we can equip women just to live life on mission, to share the hope of the gospel, and to see that, hey, God has placed you in specific places on purpose for a purpose. If we can help them to see what that purpose is and then equip them to live out that purpose, it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. You know, studies are showing that any given church is made up of 50 to 60% women. Mm. Wow. So imagine the impact if we mobilize just 50 to 60% of the church. Yeah. The kingdom impact could be tremendous.
Mm. Love it.
Yeah.
So we're Bible people. And Vance, you already said we ought to get back to the biblical narrative.
Yeah.
These contemporary arguments aside, the Bible gives us a model. So from both of you, what are some of the biblical examples of women actively participating in evangelistic efforts?
I'll let you go first, Catherine.
Okay. There's several that come to mind right off the bat. I think about Anna in Luke chapter 2, the prophetess. Mm-hmm. I love reading about Anna. There's not much written on her, but what you see is she remains in the temple. She's worshiping. She's fasting. She's praying. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 38, that she gave thanks to God and told of Jesus to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Yeah. So what you see here is she's literally telling anyone that she can about Jesus. Mm. Then you see Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20. After Jesus has resurrected from the dead, you know, she's there at the tomb wondering where He is. Jesus is talking to her and then says, hey, go tell my disciples. Yeah. Mary gets to go and share with others what she has seen. And in verse 18 of John 20, you see, it says, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to engage in evangelism, to tell people what we've seen, what we've experienced, who Jesus is, what He's done in our life. And we get to share that with other people.
Yeah. I know you got another one you want to go to, but I just don't want to miss, again, I want to drive the nail in the significance of that moment.
Yeah.
It said Mary Magdalene is the one who announced to the disciples, the guys that were about to become the apostles that would be this initial team. Jesus entrusted what I believe is the most significant theological event in the scriptures, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to the voice of Mary, who was then entrusted with that story to tell it to the disciples.
Yeah.
in light of the contemporary conversations we're having today, if we were writing that today, we would have never done it that way.
Right.
And I am so thankful for what Jesus did in that moment for the elevation of Mary and the role of women in the mission of God, both locally and globally.
That's right. I think you see here that Jesus makes a point to give this example of, no, I am using women to have a kingdom impact,
without
to share
question.
The hope of the gospel. And
right, so good.
Anybody who doesn't see intent in that moment, in light of the historical context of when the scripture was written, is not faithfully exegeting the text of scripture.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I think you can also look at the life of a lady who, I love this, we don't even know her by name in Mark chapter 5, but you know her by this blood issue that she had. It's not a story we talk of often, but I'll tell you, the Lord just rocked my world with this passage of Scripture over the last year as I just did a lot of studying on this expectant faith that she had in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we won't go through this passage of Scripture, but I do want to point out, after she touches Jesus' robe and she's healed, Jesus says, hey, who touched me? Mm. You know, and in that moment, she comes before these people and she says exactly what happened. But if you read this same account in Luke chapter 8, I love the way it's written because it says this, in the presence of all the people, she told what she had done and how Jesus had healed her.
Mm, yeah.
I think that's evangelism taking place in a crowd of people.
Yeah.
She would have never, she probably didn't wake up that day thinking, I'm going to tell a ton of people about Jesus.
Yeah.
But when she encountered the presence and the power of Jesus, and she was healed by Jesus, and then he asked, who touched me? It was like nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
Like in the presence of all people, she told what she had done, and she told what Jesus had done as a result of that. That's a perfect example of what it looks like to share the hope of the gospel in an everyday moment of life.
I love that. And there, like she's already mentioned three or four, there's so many Noah examples in Scripture. I mean, Paul goes into the city of Philippi, which is significant because it's the first time the gospel goes to the continent of Europe. Up until that point, the gospel had been in the Middle East, the Mediterranean, North Africa. The first time Paul goes to Europe is that Macedonian call. He goes to Philippi, and the person of peace that he meets that opens the door to the gospel exploding on the continent of Europe is a woman named Lydia. And Lydia insisted that Paul come to her home, and he began to train her and those in her home, and then they went out in the streets and did evangelism. And then another woman, the demon-possessed girl, comes to faith in Christ. So some of the pillars of the church at Philippi, which again is significant because Paul writes about that church in Philippians 1, and he says about them, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you for your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Yeah. Paul just was so connected to that fellowship. And then another example, like the one with the issue of blood, is the woman at the well in John 4. This woman that Jesus introduces to himself in this powerful way at the well about living water. And then the Bible says about her in John 4, verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And again, a faithful reading of that text of Scripture, the disciples, the male disciples in this moment, completely miss the activity of God, even question Jesus' intent in speaking with this woman. They weren't going to dare talk to the Samaritans, and yet God uses this woman in such a profound way. So there are so many examples, and I think this is so important because, again, in light of the conversations that some are having today, we're narrowing in on one verse of Scripture. And listen, I know our listenership is broad. I am convictionally complementarian. I believe that the office of senior pastor is for the husband of one wife because it's what the text says. But that's the only limitation given in Scripture. Everything else is wide open, and there's so many examples of that. And even in my complementarianism, I recognize that I have brothers and sisters in Christ who view that differently, which should give me a humble posture because we're going to get to heaven and somebody's going to be wrong. And I don't think it's going to be me, but it might be me. And so I need to have a humility about this conversation and how I have it that allows me to embrace brothers and sisters in the larger kingdom.
Man, so many biblical examples encouraging women, join in the mission of God, share what Christ has done in you so he can do a work through you. But what challenges, Catherine, do women often face in the realm of evangelism? And then also, what unique opportunities do you think they bring to the work?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are lots of challenges that we could talk about. I think ladies feeling unequipped to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. I think most people know what the gospel is. Women could share the gospel with you, but they don't really feel equipped to get into those gospel conversations.
Yeah.
I think fear is a thing. The enemy has all different tactics that he uses on everybody, you know, but fear, discouragement, rejection, all of these things keep us from sharing the hope of the gospel. I think another challenge is really putting evangelism in a box.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is we tend to think of evangelism taking place in the walls of the church.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in a Bible study, maybe when we go on a mission trip or something where we're like intentionally focused on whatever it is that we're doing for the sake of the gospel. But there's the challenge of seeing, no, every day I wake up is an opportunity to live on a mission trip.
Yeah.
Every day I wake up is an opportunity to cross paths with someone who needs to know that there's hope in Jesus. What I find in my own life is every time we're willing to talk about Jesus, we're doing one of two things.
Mm.
We're going to encourage people who already know Jesus, or we're going to share the hope of Jesus with those who don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
But women don't tend to think of it in those contexts often. You know, there's so many opportunities that women bring to the table. We talked about God placing them in specific places on purpose for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the mom who works in a business, in the corporate world. That's a mission field for her. Think about the stay-at-home mom who's wrangling kids and going to sports practices and games and all the things. No, they're there. That is a mission field mm-hmm. where they get to encounter mm-hmm. other moms and families that may or may not know Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, think about doing just everyday life things like going to the grocery store. What if we were to help women live out their purpose mm-hmm. in these everyday moments of life where God has placed them? What if going to the grocery store became more than just getting groceries for the family, mm-hmm. but it became an opportunity mm-hmm. to see a cashier or another shopper be able to encourage them and point them to Jesus? You know,
yeah.
What if the job that women have is more than just earning a paycheck, but it's about going to work, encountering coworkers, getting to share the hope we have in Jesus?
Mm.
You know, if we can help women start to think about what it looks like to live out their purpose in these everyday moments, then God can eradicate fear. He's greater than fear.
Yes.
He's greater than this worrying about rejection. You know, one of the things I wish I knew when I was younger is that when someone rejects the gospel, they're not rejecting us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're rejecting Jesus, you
yeah.
know? But all of these things, we need to equip women to know and to remember.
That is so incredibly important. And when you think about, you just used the word several times, equip women, how important would you say is the role of mentorship and support and encouraging women to engage in evangelism?
Yeah, that role is, I don't even know that I can express how important it is. Because I remember being not only a new believer, but into my relationship with Jesus 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, and hearing often, hey, we're called to share the gospel. Go and make disciples. This is important. If you know Jesus, you should be making Jesus known. But I didn't hear a lot of people explaining how to go about doing it. Like, how do I get into those conversations? How do I turn a conversation about something going on in someone's life to Jesus? You know,
mm-hmm.
so like these practical handles. We need mentors to be able to encourage in these areas, to model evangelism. Robert Coleman says, one living sermon is worth 100 explanations.
Mm-hmm.
We need people, women need other women and men in their life that will model evangelism, show them what it looks like, how it can be done. You know, I think back to being in college, and I was serving in student ministry. And the student pastor gave me an opportunity to serve with seventh grade girls. And from there, just helped me figure out what it looks like to study scripture, but then to also share the gospel as I was getting to lead these girls.
Mm.
I don't know that I would have known how to do it if I didn't have men and women in my life showing me, mentoring me, encouraging me, coaching me along the way.
Mm, so good.
I don't know about you guys, but my church experience, you know, Catherine, you and Chris are planting a church right now in Vance Hope Church, 20-some-odd years in Vegas, me 15-plus in St. Louis. I saw the greatest evangelists in our church were the women.
Mm.
They were more relationally connected than men,
yeah.
and they could approach people in all kinds of circumstances. You think about a man comes to your door, either a salesman, a Mormon, who's kind of, you're keeping the door shut. You're home by yourself as a woman through the day raising kids, keeping that door shut. But if a woman comes, relationships are open wide.
Right.
We also would tell our women, just equip them to say, hey, all those kids in your home, That's evangelism. They're the most lost people in our church probably right now. And just the evangelism that came out of our women, so beautiful to see, and a model for everyone else.
That's right. And I think as we're helping women think through what it looks like to create this culture of evangelism in the ministry context that God has called them to, that's going to be where they have an opportunity to mentor and coach other women in those ministry areas that they serve and lead to do the same. If anything, we don't become proficient in anything or good at anything without practice, without coaching, without someone teaching us along the way. The same thing goes with evangelism. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're going to become proficient in evangelism, we just got to practice. Yeah. We need people that can just coach us along the way, encourage us, hold us accountable. All of that's just important in the life of women.
And Noah, you mentioned it in the churches that we've been a part of here in the U.S. that we've planted. But I know each of us have experiences too globally, and I've had the opportunity to be in many countries around the world teaching and training in the gospel, in evangelism, in what it looks like to church plant. And I'm encouraged when I get overseas and see both men and women so engaged in the gospel mission. Something about American culture, individualism, has created silos in our culture that often doesn't exist in the global church, where the global church is empowering and unleashing both men and women to engage in evangelism and mission. And as I've trained all over the continent of Africa and South Asia, Southeast Asia, I've just seen women be incredible evangelists and used of God in engaging cities, seeing disciples made and churches be born. So it's just encouraging to hear, Catherine, what you're sharing in this regard.
Catherine, you are the National Director for Women's Evangelism at the North American Mission Board. An amazing title. You're putting out all kinds of resources, conferences, online tools. But we know that the center of our training is the local church. And so how can local churches, what are the specific ways that churches can provide meaningful support for women in this area?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that just comes to mind often is intentionality. Intentionality from pastors and other ministry leaders in the church, just equipping the women who are leading, whether it's on staff or in a part-time role or even volunteer role. Start focusing on the leaders and making sure leaders in the context of the local church feel equipped to share the gospel. When anytime they're doing gatherings, Bible studies, prayer meetings, or mission opportunities, whatever it may be, what if the leadership in every church were making sure that their staff and ministry teams were equipped to share the gospel, but also lead those that they're serving and leading to do the same? Does that make sense? So it starts with the leaders, making sure they are comfortable and equipped to do it, but then talking about, okay, how are you doing this in your ministry area? I think you got to get back to the why we do any of this in the first place. You know, we don't just gather just to gather, but we want to point people to Jesus, and we want to equip people to go share Jesus. And so constantly keeping the why in front of ministry leaders. So I think intentionality to do that. I think training, I think accountability. And I'm so grateful even for Tim Dowdy, who leads our team. When we meet as a team, one of the things we talk about is, hey, who are you praying for that doesn't know Jesus? Who are you sharing the gospel with? And we spend time praying with them. He did that in the context of his local church as well. But I think, what if every pastor or leadership team in the context of the local church were doing that with their ministry leaders, and then ministry leaders were then taking that to the people that they serve. I think that's one, just a couple of incredible ways to provide support in this area.
It's awesome.
You know, Catherine, one of the things that I've seen out of your ministry is you're seeking to model that everywhere you go. It never comes off as a humble brag, but you're sharing stories of going places. And Vance, you use this phrase talking about where we live, work, and play. What are some ways you've seen in the church planting climate that you're currently in right now that church planters can activate women to do, just live on mission where they live, work, and play? What are some ideas that can get them thinking right now, I can put this into practice?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I go back to just in my own life, I just want to make this clear. I consider it the privilege of a lifetime to be able to be used by God. He does not need any of us. And yet he chooses to use us, you know, and we understand that. But what if we could help every lady that we serve, what if we could help them understand that too? Mm-hmm. Practical things that we've seen, even in our context of church planting, is talking about it in the small group settings. You know, leaving time at the end of these small groups to talk about, like, hey, who are you praying for? Who are you sharing with? Who are you attempting to pray and share with, you know? Mm-hmm. And just having those conversations. I think it's talking about it from the stage, keeping it in front of people. I think it's celebrating. When you know someone is praying for someone that doesn't know Jesus, celebrate with them. Pray with them. Pray for them. When someone has a gospel conversation with someone, no matter what the result is, the outcome, we know we don't determine that.
Yeah.
But celebrate the fact that people are engaging in gospel conversations. What we know is people are going to replicate what we celebrate. Mm-hmm. And so creating this culture of a celebration in that, I mean, what we try to do, and I'll talk specifically for our women's ministry at the church. In every gathering that we do, no matter what it is, whether it's a Bible study, a gathering, a service opportunity, there is an element of sharing the gospel and also some element of equipping ladies to share the gospel. Mm. So one of the things we did this fall is we got together. You know, they were doing things around the holidays, but we also used the time to talk about our testimony. We talked about, you know, give them time to write out their testimony, practice sharing their testimony with somebody. Mm. You know, we want every time we gather to have some element of that, because for Hope Church specifically, we exist to make and send disciples of Jesus Christ. So we want every person, ladies included, to see you have a role to play in making and sending disciples.
Amen.
But we want to train them and equip them. And I know I use that word a lot, but we don't naturally drift towards evangelism. So we have to keep it in front of people. We have to keep talking about it. We have to keep encouraging it. And I'm telling you, there is nothing more exciting than when you see someone realize that God can use them. There's one lady in particular who said, I just don't know how you do it. How do you have these conversations? And we talked about conversation starters that she could use. You know, we try to get down to the basics of things. Try this. Well, I'll never forget a Sunday morning, this lady coming up and saying, Catherine, I got to share the gospel with a coworker for the first time in my life. Wow. And she said, there's nothing like it. You know, if every person were to experience what it's like to tell someone about Jesus or get to lead someone to faith in Jesus, man, there's nothing like it. It ignites this fire that we're like, I want to be a part of that again and again and again.
Man, Catherine makes me want to run through the wall. Let's go.
That's right. Yeah, Catherine, thank you so much for your wisdom in this episode. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the New Churches podcast. Until next time, let's heed the words of Psalm 96:3 and declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.